This is Polykill, where two men, outnumbered by their games and at war with time, undertake the quest of defeating their lengthy backlogs. Please adjust your seat and prepare your ears for the banter of your hosts, Jake and Travis.
Hello and welcome once again to the 26th Polykill Podcast. As always, we are your hosts. I am Travis. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at TravPlaysGames.
And I am Jake, and you can find me on the Twitter and the Instagram at TheMcAxel.
At TheMcAxel. And together we are at Polykill.
And we don't have an Instagram for Polykill.
We don't.
We don't really need one.
No.
I mean, really.
We have a Facebook.
We do have that, and that's facebook.com/PolykillPodcast.
You've been sprucing her up?
Tried.
Mm-hmm.
Failed a little. Gonna try again.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we also have polykill.com. That's the fast track to all of our content. Speaking of the website and our content, recently had another collect call.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, with Marcus.
Marcus.
He does the Pixel Pockets website, does some reviews, really into visual novels, really into PS2 games.
Mm-hmm.
The interview went really well. It was the longest. I didn't try for it to be, but it ended up being the longest.
Collect call so far?
Yeah. It was like 40 minutes, which.
Sweet.
Yeah, whatever.
Nice combo.
Yep. It was good. It was good. It was good. It was good. So check that out. You can find the interview and all of the pictures from Marcus's PS2 collection on polykill.com. So check that out. So now that we got that out of the way.
Yeah.
It's late September.
Yeah.
The Ides of September, if you will or won't.
I should.
Sure. And, still we're in that lull. We're in that lull where not a lot of games are coming out, but maybe it'd start to pick up soon.
Yeah, in about a month, we're going to be inundated with, the fall releases, the big blockbuster titles, the annualized things.
Not even a month for a few that I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, and it's going to be weird because it's the first November that we've hit upon in God knows how long without an Assassin's Creed title.
Thank the Lord.
Right?
But we have the movie.
But it's kind of weird.
But the movie comes out in...
I'm not sure.
I think it is also late November.
I want to say December.
Okay.
I'm not sure, but that's what I'm going to say.
If you want to say it, you can say it.
I'm right.
So, speaking of late September, games that I'm looking forward to, and this is a title that I've been looking forward to for a long time.
Yeah, it is.
But it is already out. It's already out on PC. It's been out on PC for some time.
Yeah, for a while.
And that is XCOM 2.
Yeah.
Extra Com. And it's coming to Xbox One and PS4 on September 27th.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really, really enjoyed Enemy Within.
Yeah, you did.
I think it's Enemy Within. There's the
Enemy
other
Unknown.
One. Enemy Unknown.
Yeah, Enemy Within, I think, is the new one.
Well, Enemy Within was...
Oh, it was
like
a DLC patch or something. Yeah.
Something. It was like the same game, but with a different story or something like that.
Mm.
And then there's also XCOM The Bureau, which I also played and enjoyed. But
right, which was more of a Mass Effect-y version of
the
world.
Yeah, it was more of a first-person perspective tactical strategy. But, Enemy Unknown, to me, like, it blew me away. I'd never really played a game like that before, somehow. I kind of missed out on that through all the days of PC and everything, and I actually played it on Xbox 360, fell in love with it, loved everything about it, and was really looking forward to XCOM 2, and was really disappointed it wasn't coming to consoles, and they even said after it released that it would not.
Right.
They were very upfront. They said, it's not coming to consoles, but here we are, late September, us console folk finally get it.
Finally.
And I'm pretty excited.
So do you think this will be one that you might get fairly new, or are you going to have to wait around? I mean, you seem pretty jazzed about it.
I'm actually fairly jazzed about it, but I don't know that I'll get it right away, but it's one I'm totally going to get it.
So, but there's a possibility you might drop the full 60 on it.
I don't know. I think there's another game coming out at the beginning of next month
there
that
is.
I want to buy fresh.
That's true.
That I'm going to put a lot of time into.
Right.
And when that wanes, then I might turn to XCOM 2.
Okay, that's fair.
There's not a lot of other games I'm looking forward to this holiday season. So
no.
This should be one of the ones that I can put some time into.
Yeah,
so
boy.
I'm excited. Yep.
Right on.
How about you?
I did not put that one down, even though I am kind of excited for it. Mm. It's one that I know is going to be out there. Mm-hmm. In the distance for a while. This one's a bit of a weird one for me. But that's Destiny Rise of Iron.
That sounds like my boner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel the same, though.
No.
Right. I think it's weird that I want to play Destiny again. But like 3 months ago, maybe, I had this twinge. I was like, man, I kind of want to play Destiny again. Mm. So I looked into it and I was like, oh, man, they say it's a lot better now than, because I haven't played it since early this year.
Mm. Way back in 2016.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Early this year, maybe even like December of last year since I played it. And I've heard it's been much improved, much better, player base is still strong, et cetera, et cetera. And then apparently the Rise of Iron is making even greater strides. And so I'm like, man, I kind of want to jump back in. I don't know that I will, but my interest is piqued.
Well, what's holding you back?
Time.
Yeah.
You know, because I mean, Destiny is a time suck.
Sure.
And, but
is it, and also, is it better to have some friends with you along for the ride?
It is. It is. And, you know, Brian wants to play.
Yeah.
I got somebody right there, you know, right on the cusp that would jump in.
Got to line up those schedules. Got that baby daddy, and then you got whatever you do in your spare time.
Yeah.
Daddy.
Daddy. Yeah. School daddy. That sounds weird. But yeah, that one's a big one for me. Definitely going to keep my eye on it.
Sure. And that's already out.
That's out today.
Yeah.
9:20.
Right on.
And the other is also releases the same day as XCOM 2. It's Forza Horizon 3.
You're excited about this during E3.
Yeah. I'm really excited about it because I love Forza Horizon 2. And they're just basically taking that formula, improving on it, and putting it in Australia with lots more off-road stuff, which, you know, I love. Yeah. It's getting great reviews. I mean, the reviews are already out, so that's good.
Right.
The review embargo is up already. So it's getting like 9 to 9.5s and such like
Very
that.
Good.
So, yeah, pretty... Ah. Yeah, a lot of customization. Like, you can make your own events and share them with other people. So, like, if you go to, you know, you want to go do a race circuit, like, if you don't like the races that they put in there, the checkpoints, you can go make your own and then share it with friends. And you still get as much credit for doing that as you would if you did the default one.
That's becoming a thing in games now.
Like, yeah.
And it's weird that it's even, you know, trickled down to racing games where the developers are basically just giving people the keys. And like, here, just
do your own stuff.
Make your own fun if you want to. Here's all the tools and assets that we've come up with. And
yeah,
I think it's really neat. I like that.
It is. It is, and yeah, I'm pretty excited. I'll probably pick it up at some point. It probably won't be right away, but I'm pretty jazzed to see what it'll do for me.
How it do?
Yeah.
Nice, man. Well, that's great. Big release reaction, and for the record, Forza Horizon is out on 9/27 as well. So from
Xbox One and PC.
Cool deal. Big release reaction, not really release reaction, but kind of an announcement reaction.
Reveal
so
reaction.
Yeah. And it was all the hype. It was all the. I mean, there's not a lot going on in the gaming news these days,
right?
So obviously, this is going to take the cake in terms of attention. The Sony PlayStation announcing the PS4 Pro. Now, this is not something I was interested in at all from the get go, so I didn't really look into it too heavily. So, what are your impressions, being someone who's really into the specs in the PlayStation community? What do you think?
I think it's interesting. I definitely wonder about the messaging. I think they did a good job of making it clear that it wasn't replacing the current PS4, that it was just an iterative step. Not even a refresh, really, but it's more like, you know, it's like when you go to buy a car, do you want to get the, you know, the LE or the SE version? You know, it's kind of like it's the same car, but one just has more features.
Right.
And
still plays your PS4 games.
Games. There's a lot of buzz around the HDR capability, more so than the 4K, apparently. Apparently, Naughty Dog is more jazzed about HDR than they are 4K. So it's interesting because they just patched HDR capability for the current PS4. So it's like, you tell us how great HDR is and how excited everybody is, and you just go ahead and give that to us.
Right.
The part that most people are excited about. I think the biggest problem that I have with it is not every game is going to support it that's already been released, and not every game going forward has to.
Yeah, that's a little disappointing.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, I imagine all first-party Sony games will. So, like, anything that, you know, Days Gone or, you know, I think, you know, Naughty Dog's going to do it for Last of Us.
It's
kind of
sounding like
Uncharted.
Naughty Dog is kind of Sony's hype man.
Yeah,
they're just trying to, like...
Maybe get people excited about it. I think that's possible. I think, you know, Call of Duty is another one that's going to do it, which is good because it's, you know, it's a kind of a in PS4's corner now, more so than
it's
Xbox's.
It's a money printer, too.
But I don't know. I mean, I'm interested if there are other games that I want to play that are going to start supporting that, then maybe. But right now, it's like,
I think it's a pass for a lot of people.
I mean, if you're just now buying into this generation, I think that's the way to go.
Sure.
But if you already have one, I don't really see the benefit, honestly.
Yeah. I'm sure some people out there are excited about it. But, you know, I would say the average consumer maybe is like, okay, maybe.
I think an interesting thing is, like, this just kind of came out of the blue, but I thought, you know, it would be a great game to take advantage of PS4 Pro would be Witcher 3, because it's a beautiful game anyway. CD Projekt Red loves pushing the boundaries technically. It'd be perfect for it. And they're like, yeah, we're not doing a patch for that.
Oh.
I was like, huh.
Is it just okay. PS4 Pro supposed to have a stronger or more direct tie-in with PSVR?
I think it definitely does have stronger PSVR capabilities, just raw processing power.
Sure.
They not required, but like they, improves upon it.
A marketing angle.
Yeah, it's a bunch of drop this $400 so you can drop this $500 so you can get, you know, $900 invested into your VR. Yeah.
I guess.
It's kind of what they're doing.
Sure. I guess that's pretty much it. I don't really have a feeling about each way. I wasn't crazy about the name. It seems very generic.
Yeah.
But Sony has kind of had a reputation for just kind of going, you know, following the numbers, you know, PlayStation Portable. They didn't even get fancy with that.
Right.
Vita might be the most extravagant name they've ever come up with.
I agree.
So Pro is pretty much within their bounds, but it's still, you know,
conservative.
Yeah, a little snoozy, but whatever. I'm sure that the hardware itself will sell it. It doesn't have to have a jazzy name.
Yeah.
But Neo was kind of cool.
I liked it.
Yeah.
I liked it.
So, what happened last episode?
Let's check.
All right.
Previously on Polykill, Jake shares his impressions of the much-talked-about No Man's Sky as Trav completes a bevy of games including classic Contra and modern Doom. Jake completes the relaxing adventure of Abzu while he continues to work through his backlog despite his impenetrable schedule. The fellas celebrate their 1 year of podcasting together by rehashing their favorite Polykill moments and combing over their backlogs as the topic of Dear Scout.
All right. So let's talk about things that we've added to our backlog since the year anniversary episode went down. What are some things that you've added to your old pile of gross, nasty, festered shame?
Not a thing.
That's good for you.
It is good for me. I don't need to add anything else.
No, you don't.
You don't.
You really don't. Especially, I mean, were you shamed by the end of
no, that I episode? Just I haven't had time to look to see if there's anything that's out or that was on sale that I wanted to get.
Fair enough.
But yeah, I didn't add a thing. I just, nothing bought, nothing. I mean, I guess maybe one kind of went on and off, but we'll get to that in a second.
Cool deal. I added just an obscure title, as you can tell, from the list that you're looking at.
Yeah, it is.
Kirby and the Crystal Shards. It's a Nintendo 64 game.
Crystal Shard?
Yeah, I know, right? It seems very sharty, but it's just shards.
Okay.
Just shards of crystal, just flecks of crystal. It's pretty fun, actually. It's
okay. And Kirby games usually are heavy on fun, easy on the mechanic. Well, easy on the difficulty, I guess.
Yeah, it started out very simple, and then it's gotten gradually more challenging as it's gone on, but nothing insurmountable.
Right.
But it still maintained its fun. I do like how like a lot of the weapons are elemental, and you can combine to he absorbs his enemy's attack, and you can it kind of reminds me of Gunstar Heroes in a way. Like you can absorb an attack from a fire enemy and the attack from another enemy and mix them together and make a different attack.
Okay.
So it's been kind of cool discovering a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, nice.
The reason I picked this game out really was just because just curiosity, really. It's kind of gone down as one of the better N64 games. And I felt like I knew a lot about the rest of them on that list, but I was like, I don't really know anything about this. And it's just 2.5D. It doesn't really...
Okay.
It's not brought down by the poor N64.
Everyone trying to make everything.
Yeah, you know, some of the stuff that just didn't live on past 1999.
Right.
This game does kind of transcend that era, and it's still fun today, and
cool.
I'm having a blast with it. So I'm actually a little over halfway through it, so it might be off the backlog before we talk again, but that's pretty much it. So
Neato.
You didn't add anything. I added one.
And you're already
Kirby
chomping away on it.
Yeah, I'm already biting it out. So
very cool.
All right, so what are some games that we've knocked off the old backlog? I can go first.
Go for it.
So I got a couple. Ape Escape.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that. I enjoyed
it. It's a good game. It's a fun game.
It really
is.
So like you said, it was the first game on the PlayStation 1 to use the dual analog.
Right.
It uses it pretty well. I mean, there's some frustrating things with the camera because you have to control the camera. You can control it by, you can like send it directly behind you with one of the L buttons. But if you really want to control it, you have to leave the analog and
go to the D-pad.
Mess with the D-pad.
Yeah.
So it can get a little fuzzy that way because your attack is with the right analog. So, you know, it's not like you're maneuvering with both sticks. You're attacking with one and moving around with the other. So it can be
a little
discombobulating.
Different. Yeah, yeah.
So if you're in a pinch, it's really hard to do something like spur of the moment without really giving it thought. But I got the hang of it toward the end, and it was actually pretty fun. I enjoyed it quite a bit. I recommend that to anybody that's got a PS1 and they're looking for fun games. That one's definitely one of the more lighthearted for sure. And
oh, yeah, yeah. Just a game.
Yeah, it really is just a video game.
Not trying to do anything.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm not trying to get yourself too serious. Yeah. You're just catching monkeys,
just
man.
Just catch monkeys.
Yeah, it's a good time. The other one, another one that I beat was, I'll tell you one that I'll just briefly mention. Double Dare for the NES. It's just like a game show game. I picked it up. I remember Double Dare from TV growing
Mark
up.
Mark Summers.
Yeah.
The Mayan.
It's super easy. It took me like 10 minutes to beat. I don't even know why I'm mentioning it, but there it is.
Okay.
The last one was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Hyperstone Heist for the Genesis.
I was going to say, it's a Genesis title, yeah?
It is a Genesis title. It is like a twist of the Turtles in Time that came out for Super Nintendo. Mm-hmm. They share a lot of the same assets, and a few of the levels are you know, similar, and some are just tweaked a little bit different. But in general, I would say they're basically the same game, same difficulty.
Technically, is it a better game in terms of visuals and
you know,
sound?
I think people are split. I think it's whatever you grew up with.
Okay.
I don't think there's clearly one that is just so much better than the other. There is one cool thing about the Super Nintendo version is there is a level where you have to take enemies and throw them toward the screen and hit Shredder. Shredder's like shooting you.
Okay. That Battletoads boss at the beginning?
Yeah, a little bit like that. Yeah. And that's kind of neat. There's nothing like that in the Genesis version. The Genesis version is just straight side-scrolling beat 'em up.
Interesting.
But, I mean, and I think they're really similar.
Okay.
Really, really similar games, and both are pretty fun. The reason I added that was, one, it's kind of a rarer title. It goes for about $50. Brian actually found it at a yard sale a couple years ago, just picked it up.
Very cool.
And he held onto it for a while and played with it with his kids, and then he gifted it to me this Christmas. So it was really awesome because it's not cheap. He could have got money for it. So it was nice of him to pass that along. And me and my nephew played it two-player the other night, and I ended up dying, and he actually finished it and beat it. And so I was like, I think I can do this on my own. So ran through it and beat it and got the notch in the belt. But super fun game, especially if you're a Turtles fan. It's great.
Nice.
So that's it.
Cool beans.
What'd you get?
I got one.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
That's big for me.
Yeah.
As of late. So finally beat Gone Home.
Tell me about it.
So I already played through a bit of it, maybe a year ago, maybe longer at this point, on PC. Then it dropped on PS4 as a freebie. So I downloaded it, played it on there. It, first person, I mean, walking simulator, as some people would call it.
Yeah. Not so much a game, to some people would say.
Yeah. It's a exploratory narrative. It does a really good job of throwing you some very convincing red herrings along the way. Pretty fun. Very just steeped in 1990s.
So you say that, you mean like it's trying to get you off course, or...?
Maybe thematically, I'll say thematically, okay. Red herrings. So like you're walking around in this house, you know, you get back, you play like a high school student or maybe college student at this point. You're a girl, 19, 20 years old. You come home, your family's just not there.
Oh no.
And then you start, you know, finding notes and clues and finding little details that your parents weren't getting along, and they had been talking to counselors, and your little sister had fallen in love, and you're finding all these really cool things about this family, and
and you've just been going to college, like,
yeah.
You've
well,
gone long.
I mean, it was just like a trip abroad.
Okay,
and then you come back to visit. You don't live there anymore, but you come back to visit. And then like there's apparently some history with the house. You know, that is like, it's the psycho house, and all the kids, you know, you're reading this stuff that your sister's written. You're like, my classmates are teasing me because I live in the psycho house. And, there's lots of interesting little wrinkles and really good writing and good atmosphere. And then the conclusion was not what I expected, but it was.
So that's where you say, just some misleading story elements.
Yeah. There's lots of flavor text to the story. Mechanically sound, very simple. Just walk around and look at stuff.
But it's a game that you want to take all that in.
You do.
Like, otherwise it's not going to be interesting.
Yeah. I mean, if you just blaze through that, you know, you're going to not get the full experience.
Right.
You want to, open the drawers, look at the notes, look at the pictures.
Sure.
How
long did it take you to run through it?
2 hours maybe.
Okay.
So pretty quick. Some of the earlier parts I did blow through just because I'd already been there and already understood what they were.
Right.
And then got to the points where I had never crossed that threshold, and then slowed down. So.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So it's one you recommend to people that just kind of need a
yeah,
relaxing kind of.
Yeah.
Cool deal.
If you're interested in a cool story and, some neat atmosphere, lots of 90s references.
Oh, nice.
Lots of,
is it based in the 90s?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember the year. It's like 93 or 95 or something like that. So cassettes, cassette tapes everywhere, VHS tapes, lots of X-Files references, fun stuff like that.
So that's kind of two games similar, I guess, in mechanic in a row. Like Abzu was very much, was it kind of an exploratory, kind of take it all in?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, obviously different setting and not first person like Gone Home, but cool. Yeah.
Nice, man. Well, I'm glad you're having fun with that.
Oh, yeah.
But that's all you were able to knock out this time around?
Correct.
All right. That's all right.
I just opened like my list of games and like what here is beatable right now? Because like I'm, you know, bits into lots of different games and like what can I just...
Well, it's good to check something off every now and then.
Yeah.
It's cathartic.
Feels good.
All right.
Yeah, boy.
Now it's time for the long play.
Long play.
Long. So what have you been putting on your long dong there, buddy?
Well, I guess... nothing has changed really there.
Yeah.
I guess it's, No Man's Sky is still one I want to get back to.
Still haven't gotten back into it.
Still haven't got back into it. Still haven't touched it in the last 3 weeks.
Because of time, not.
Yeah, not lack of interest or anything like that. They even like did an update since I had played it. I don't think it was anything content wise. I think it was more, bug fixing, whatnot. Mm-hmm. They've gone radio silent, man, and I don't blame them. Like their Twitter is just dead.
Yeah. Yeah. It's strange times.
Yeah, I saw some interesting comments from Shuhei Yoshida about the hype surrounding it, and it was like, yeah, it probably wasn't the greatest messaging. At the end of the day, he's an indie developer. Like it feels a little backhanded, you know? It's like, he's just a developer, you know? It's like, yeah, you really can't expect much out of him when it comes to press, which is a fair assessment.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, it says a lot about some of these other companies that are corporate and they have means of reeling people in and saying, this is not what we want to say about your product.
Yeah, I mean, I do think it's interesting how much Sony got behind that game and pushed that game, but still didn't give any direction when it came to marketing.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And it was just weird to me. But anyway, we talked about that last time. Yeah. That and Doom were my two mainstays.
Still not doomed it up.
Hmm. But need to.
Yeah.
Want to.
I'll tell you, fresh after our last podcast,
yeah.
I got really heavily back into, I'm having trouble speaking, might have a stroke. I got really heavily back into Fallout 4.
Okay, yeah.
And I enjoyed it. I took a big chunk out of it, too. I want to say I played close to like 8 or 9 hours of it, just right there out of the gate. Leveled up a number of times. I think I'm like level 49, level 50 now.
Did you burn yourself out again?
No.
Okay.
I won't say I burned out, but I did lose a little bit of interest, a little bit of traction. But I mean, I'm not completely over it.
Right.
I just stepped away from it. I think I played a lot there for a minute and I was, you know, giving
it. You tend to do that with Fallout, don't you?
Yeah, I know, right?
You just go balls deep and then just back up.
Or a couple things about it. I got pretty deep into the campaign story and I won't spoil anything here, but I don't like how it's going. I don't like, it's kind of a mess.
Okay.
Toward the end. And I don't know. Like, I just started making decisions that I wasn't really comfortable with because it was time to make one. It was kind of like, okay, you need to choose a faction. I don't know. I don't have any strong feelings one way or the other. I feel like I don't know if it's because I stepped away for so long, but I felt like I had a good grasp on everyone and you know, it's making me make a choice and I'm just not, just I just not don't digging dig it. It. Yeah. I just don't dig it. So, but I'm going to follow through with it because I really do want to, knock that story quest out again because I want to play with mods
and yeah.
Maybe and I want to, you know, get maybe the achievement for beating quests and then get in there with a Randy Savage Deathclaw and do what I do.
Do what you do,
do
man.
What I do. But
do what you do.
No, I still think it's a fine game, man. I think, you know, I'm not disappointed with it. I still think it's good.
Cool.
It's just a lot to it.
Yeah.
It's a lot to it.
Dense.
It sure is. Well, what about on the side then? Side quest.
Side quest.
Girl.
Telltale Batman. That's where I'm going to say what my side quest is.
Yeah.
Second episode's out now. Still haven't finished the first one, but second episode's out now. So
okay,
they're moving along.
Yeah. Was it like a month ago?
Yeah. About that.
So I feel like they're getting a little bit better with that. That's
I mean, people are saying it's among the best that Telltale's done, which, you know, that's honestly not. It is and it's not at the same time because I don't feel like they put out anything that I've been, you know, the Minecraft one's the only one I was like, meh. But the rest of them, I'm like, this is good. This is good.
Yeah.
This is good.
I agree.
I haven't played the Game of Thrones one, but
have they overhauled the engine at all? Do you know if it's less glitchy and whatnot?
They have.
Good.
I can't speak to how many glitches are there, but I know they did overhaul the engine some.
That's so good. That's good news. That's my two main complaints is
release schedule
and then a little bit of glitch.
Yeah,
but I mean, in general,
glitch action.
I'm happy with whatever they push out. You know what I mean?
I know.
Side quests again. I've been whipping on Kirby and the Crystal Shards.
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't played any more Double Dragon. I did mention that last episode.
Right, you just
frustrated me beyond
belief.
Dropped it like a bad habit.
I'll
be back.
You'll be back.
Double Dragon
with the Game Genie.
Dragons. I don't even know that it's probably in the Game Genie probably can't penetrate the deep dark hell soul of that game. It boils down to those damn platforming elements, but I won't even get into it. But yeah, I think that's pretty much it. I haven't really played anything else on the side. I mean, other than the couple games, like NES games I beat,
right?
You know, I haven't really messed around too much with anything.
I can't think of anything else that I've played. I mean, I may have turned on.
Oh, I played Daxter
something
on the PSP. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah.
Yeah, I really can't think of anything else that I've played. Like I said, I haven't sat on my couch in like a week, so
yeah.
I don't know.
Well,
it's weird.
What are you gonna do?
Yeah, other stuff apparently.
Yeah, yeah. Other stuff.
Well, if you want to do other stuff,
yeah, you can build an app with Calden Tech LLC.
Yeah, I've heard that.
It's the ad read that I almost completely forgot.
Yeah, I brought it back around.
You did. You did a really good job. Your segue game is much much better than mine. As always, this episode is sponsored by Cowden Technologies LLC. Caltech specializes in building full-stack web applications utilizing modern technologies like Ruby on Rails and AngularJS. If you're looking to take your business idea to market or have a software need that can support your goals, contact Cowden Technologies for a free consultation. To get started on building and launching your concept, email sales@cowden.tech. That is sales@cowden.tech. So if you have an app that you want to build for any specific reason,
yeah,
maybe it'll help your business along, or maybe you just have a personal idea that you think is just complete titties, contact Cowden, sales@cowden.tech, get a free consultation, and get that idea out the door, man.
Yeah, get that titty idea right out there.
Yeah, don't just sit on top of your titty idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let someone get up in it.
Yep. All right, man. Jump into the discussion.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Do you think this will be the best discussion that we've ever had?
It's probably going to be, yeah, it's going to break some records.
I think so, too. When I think about this discussion, I think, like, it's just going to be unparalleled in terms of, like, listener immersion.
Yeah.
They're probably going to be like, what? Oh, my God. I can't believe this. They're going to be blown away.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of synchronicity.
Sure.
And maybe some
thesauruses being opened.
Yeah, some leverage, some low-hanging fruit.
Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, this discussion topic is hype.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that really just drives the market a lot of times for video games.
It drives the market. It also drags the market down.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Hype is one of those things that is, it's a necessary evil in a way.
Yeah.
For something like a book that you can't really preview without reading it. You rely on
reviews.
Bestseller lists and reviews, and then hype is generated.
Yeah,
and then you take it in. Movies, there's trailers, but trailers generate hype.
Right.
They're when they give you a trailer, they're selling you the best parts that they think you'll love.
Yes.
And they're generating a hype around something that, you know, 2 hours of that might not be great, but that 2.5 minute
those bits that they pulled out, yeah,
is basically put there just so you'll generate hype. You'll find a one liner in that trailer, you'll repeat over and over, and or you'll think about it, or just be so funny in the trailer,
yeah,
that you know the movie is now above that. You think, well, this is just a piece of the movie. The whole movie must be hilarious,
right?
And video games are no different.
Yeah, they really like to play on the cinematic aspects in a lot of cases. I feel like, especially as of late, you know, as technology and graphical fidelity has improved, as well as just the things that can go on. Like, there are some trailers that I have seen in video games, and the most recent one that comes to mind is the Battlefield 1 trailer, the first one that dropped with the Seven Nation Army remix in the background.
Yeah.
Best trailer I've seen for a video game in a very long time, mm-hmm. in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because it just gave you the sense of what the game was without showing you the game. I mean, even though it was in-game footage, it didn't, you know, show you the HUD and the first-person view and all that. It's like, this is what you're going to be doing. You're going to be driving tanks over trenches and hitting guys with shovels and flamethrowers and horses and biplanes and all that. It's like, yeah, that's what I want to do. I want to get on that.
Especially the shovel thing. That sounded really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All of that. So they're engines of hype.
Absolutely.
Trailers, commercials, things like that. I feel like static ads for video games are just hilarious now, especially go back and look at like some old Nintendo Powers or EGMs or something, and you look at a page and it's like,
yeah,
here is a flat, motionless still ad for a video game. It just can't sell you on a game like a, you know.
Yeah, especially I would say that's true for any game that came out after like 1997. Because I think those games that were trying to get in that 3D mold going.
Yep.
And just a still image of that shitty 3D just did not do it justice.
Right.
But before that, maybe it was okay. A still image of Metroid, like, that's basically the game.
Yeah, that's what it's going to look like.
You get an idea of what that is.
But also, if there was like a lot of embellishment, like... A lot of Nintendo ads, they were just like some dude with cool glasses and, you know, a sweet jacket. Yeah. And he's like sitting at his desk and he's got his Game Boy in his hands. His eyes are shooting out of his head because he's playing this awesome game. It's like...
The hype was generated by the user.
Yes.
Not so much what you could get out of the game. Yeah. And now it's all, what can the game do? There's never anything of anybody reacting to playing the game anymore.
Usually it's I think the most recent one I've seen are like horror games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think... The Evil Within had a commercial where it was just people sitting in a dark room playing the game.
And that makes sense.
And that was good.
That makes sense because that's what you want to evoke.
Yeah.
That's actually a really good point that I hadn't really thought about. But aside from those corporately generated hype machines, we're all also guilty of generating hype ourselves. The longer something doesn't come out, the more we're able to think about it, more that we see of it in terms of ads and stuff, we generate our own hype by being like, can't wait for this. And the other person's like, I can't wait either. And then you start talking about it. And then suddenly it's just this whole grandiose idea that'll never be realized in tactile form.
So like at this point, Half-Life 3.
Oh, yeah.
It'll never live up to whatever people hope it is.
Exactly.
It's not going to happen.
I mean, and for me personally, I would just be happy to play whatever just to see how the story ended. I mean, I would play
an Infocom card version of it.
Yeah, I would type into the computer. I went east for a while just to see what happened. But, for a lot of people, I mean, their imagination will get the best of them. And that's usually good up front for somebody selling a game. Usually that first week is that hype machine is paid off. But how well it can stay at that price point and how long it can, maintain that is really the testament to how good it is. And we're seeing that with No Man's Sky. I mean, it's
so much hype.
So much hype.
3 years.
And, I think like a lot of people were disappointed. Some rightfully so, maybe some kind of overreaching it a little bit and just like to be a part of. Now the hype is surrounded. Now the hype surrounding it is bad.
It's negative. Yep.
And so people want to be a part of that too. And I think that's also part of it. But at the same time, I mean, there's definitely legitimate reasons for people to be disappointed if they had an idea of something. So I was thinking, what are some classic examples of some games that were just completely overhyped? Like, just completely overhyped, fell flat as soon as they came out. As soon as people got their hands on them, they were just like, ugh.
Yeah.
Do you have any examples?
Well, I think one that comes to mind is going to be, in recent memory, probably Watch Dogs.
Mm. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, Watch Dogs is like when they showed that at E3, I want to say a year or two before release, you know, people were just blown away by it.
Oh, absolutely.
It's like, oh, look how pretty this is. And his jacket's flapping in the wind and the rain. And you can
so
just like,
moody and modern and dark, but still well lit. And
then you can like, oh, you can go over there and make cars crash by changing traffic lights.
Yeah, you can hack into someone's bank account and take all their money. Yeah. And
then upon release, it's just... gray chalky mess of a game that had
gray chalky mess is actually a really good way to put it.
Yeah,
I mean, it was set to be Ubisoft's biggest release in 2014, aside from their Assassin's Creed release. Like they were going to hang their hat on that. Like this is our new IP, guys. This is, you know, we're not just the Assassin's Creed company. We also or DDR company. We also have this other fresh idea. And I mean, it really did make you believe you could hack anything. You know, and. Having played the game, you can hack quite a bit, but it's still like, it's very straightforward. It's not as open and free roaming as they led you to believe. And again, a lot of that, I think, is our imaginations crept in, to an extent.
Yeah. I think it also had to do with what they showed.
Mm-hmm.
You can do all of this. Mm-hmm. And so it makes you think, oh, I can do even more, but no, you could really do like that thing one way.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And, of course, they teased it. I can think it was 2012's E3, graphically amazing. And then it got delayed like 6 months. And I think that's when people started to get skeptical. Like, I think maybe they even realized they're like, this isn't close to what we... And maybe what they showed at E3 was like, this is what we want. This is what our goal is, and then it just couldn't get there. And again, it ended up looking like nowhere near as good. Like the thing that really, like, I'm usually not a graphic snob. I'm really not. I'll take fun over whatever you show me. I can deal with a lot of ugly. I play a lot of bad games. Sure. I can deal with a lot of bad graphics. I play a lot of old, like PS1 and Nintendo 64 games. Some bad 3D polygons don't offend me. But in that game, like Skyrim, it was already out. To Watch Dogs' detriment, GTA 5 was already out.
Yeah.
A game that just is unparalleled in beauty in terms of like urban landscape.
Yeah, yeah.
The trees in fucking Watch Dogs were awful. Nothing took me out of the game faster than just going down the street and seeing a tree that looked like a crossroad sign.
Yeah.
Like, it looked like it was a cardboard cutout of a tree.
It was gross.
And it just completely just pissed me off just playing the game. I'd never had that happen to me before. I was like, really? No one tried? No one said, maybe we should add three more things to the tree?
Yeah. Let's put more things on the tree, guys.
Yeah, like, I mean, I know that seems like just a small thing to get upset about, but I don't know. It kind of bothered me.
Yeah, and on top of that, you know, not to just give Watch Dogs completely down the road, it was a boring game.
It was.
Considering all the things that you could potentially do, the characters were boring.
Missions were so linear.
Missions were linear. The driving was awful. And, you know, you just were an errand boy, which is weird because the idea of hacking is freedom, and you just felt completely tied to it.
Yeah.
I got to say this.
Great sneeze.
Thank you.
Great sneeze.
Oh, man.
That sneeze was probably the best sneeze ever, not to overhype it, but it was great.
Top 10 sneezes.
It was really good. It was really good. And one other thing I'll say about the game, and it's to like give it some credit, was there was like a little multiplayer kind of jump in thing where you could
invade other people's worlds. Yeah.
That was actually kind of fun. Yeah, I did enjoy that. That was a good idea. But for the greater majority of the game was just overhyped. I don't even know if maybe they didn't advertise it and maybe show off that E3 video, if it released the way it did, if it would have still caught the flack that it did.
I agree. I don't know. I mean, it wasn't a good game.
No, I
agree. And regardless of hype, it still wasn't a good game.
Another game that I think was, like you mentioned, Watch Dogs. Another game that around that era that I thought was extremely overhyped, disappointingly so, was Assassin's Creed 3. That's a game that's fresh on me because I played it like maybe a week before we started the podcast.
Right.
So just a little over a year ago, I finished that piling heap of cat feces. The game was hyped in such a way that it kind of felt like Assassin's Creed was reinventing itself. It kind of felt like it was challenging itself to step outside the bounds.
Let's take it out of the city and let's do it in the woods.
Yeah, and that's commendable. I thought that was good. I mean, they probably felt like they needed a fresh start. They just released pretty much four games set in the same kind of style.
Yep.
In a row. And so, you know, hats off for that. The trailer was really cinematic, you know, breathtaking visuals as always. You know, Assassin's Creed always start with like a crowd of people. Someone's about to get killed and somebody stops it, which is ironic to what actually happens in the games.
Agreed.
It celebrated a bigger world. It was supposed to be a world so much bigger with free roaming. Like, you could really go anywhere on foot you wanted. There's really not a whole lot of, you know, cutting between areas and and all that stuff. And you could climb trees.
And it was an interesting time period.
Colonial America. You could hunt wildlife. You could hunt wildlife. Like, what? Why? But you could do it. You could sail on ships. Yeah. Get out of my face. You could sail on ships. But I mean, you put all that together in one game, and it's just, holy shit.
I think it was a little too much.
I think it was. I think it was too much for them to
rein into one cohesive experience.
Like, the tree climbing shit was so aggravating.
It was so awful.
Oh, my God. I would climb a church steeple all day and find the right color of brick to leap to.
Yeah.
Fine with me. But going around those trees and trying to find the right branch and, like, is that a branch I can jump on or no? Because they're not clearly indicated, and then I fall 50 feet into the snow.
Yep.
The story was so slow.
So slow.
The first 5 hours of the game is like a tutorial.
Yeah.
It's so bad.
It was really bad.
It is so bad. That's one of the worst openings to any game that endured.
One of the worst 5 hours to a game.
And it's not even that the story's that bad. It's just it's paced so poorly.
Oh, yeah.
I think the story, I mean, if you could read that story in an old, like, you know, like a novel form, and it's fine. You know,
yeah, I mean, interesting characters, but you just didn't get to spend a lot of time with them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Weird.
Very few. I mean, I'm trying to think back, like, what was fun about that game? I can't think of anything that I did in that game that was fun. Really can't think of one thing I did that was a good time. Like, there's some of the wagon chases that are fun for a while, but they're more or less frustrating, and they kind of break.
It's because it's different. Yeah. It's just like, I'm not climbing a tree or falling out of a tree, so this is cool.
Yeah. So, again, I credit Ubisoft for trying to stab their way out of the Roman era, but.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
not a good outing. So definitely, I would consider overhyped, and it fell flat. I think pretty quick. I think people immediately were like, "This nice try, but no thanks."
Right.
Another one for me that hits home pretty hard.
Yeah.
One that I'm still offended by to this day because I think it really killed off a franchise that babysat me.
Mm.
And that was SimCity, recent SimCity.
Yeah, that was 2013.
Okay. Yeah. So obviously EA bought out Maxis, which is never a headline you want to see for one of your favorite developers.
Right.
But, you know, they started showing off this SimCity 2013, or I think it was just called SimCity. It was just a reboot.
Yeah, I think it just rebooted.
And, I mean, it, from all indications early on, it was looking pretty good. And, of course, I was on Reddit around this time, so, you know, the SimCity subreddit was full of hype. Everyone, all of our little cyber architects were getting excited. And there were a few skeptics on there that were telling us to reel it in, like, hey, you know, EA really has a hold of this. Like, you know, this isn't going to be Max's idea at the end. It's going to be an EA thing.
And sure enough, you have to remember, I mean, this is like during, I guess, probably EA's darker period. They've come around a lot in the last few years.
Sure, in terms of perception.
Yeah, absolutely. Perception and even execution somewhat. You know, you don't have to buy those stupid $10 passes to play online with a used game anymore. Like they made some changes, but it was because of things like that happened with this launch.
Yes, and this game in particular I think really shook them up. I don't know if it had a big hit on them financially, because I don't know that the SimCity base is huge.
I mean, it's a long cherished and well-loved franchise.
Sure it is. I really don't know. I mean, I don't know if it competes with a lot of other things that they release.
Right.
So I don't even know if they felt the hit, but I'm sure that they heard the outcry for sure.
Oh, no doubt.
So the hype was surrounded around the visuals. Like, it looked like Mr. Rogers' fucking neighborhood.
Yeah.
Like the tilt shift and all that stuff.
Yeah,
and a lot of people had problems with that, but to me, I just thought it was gorgeous. I thought it was beautiful, like ploppable aesthetics, and just the whole feel of it just felt really, really cool. The interviews with the developers, they talked about, you know, how much processing power was required for the city to even exist. Like, it had to be connected always because there was so much math going on that we couldn't comprehend. Like, our home PCs could not process the, you know, exorbitant amount of math going on to make these cities work. And they tried to say that, like, every asset of the game, like every box created in a factory, traveled into a truck, which consumed petroleum from the earth, which traveled house to house, which delivered all these things. And you could kind of follow the trucks along in the game and kind of get a feel for that. But within like a week of the game's release, somebody noticed that there was a flaw in that algorithm, that it only went to a certain level. And then once it exceeded that, the game just kind of winged it after that. It was just kind of like, for a game that needed to call home for power to do the extra math, someone figured out on a piece of notebook paper within about a week that this was all a sham. And when that happened, they were like, oh, and of course people were really upset that it had to be online always.
Right.
Like, I just want to build fucking cities. Why do I have to be on? Like, I want to take my laptop into a hotel room somewhere and just, I'm on a business trip. I want to fucking play around on this game.
Yeah.
Why can't I just be offline? And they're like, well, it needs city, you know, like, I'm not playing with anybody else. I'm playing with myself.
Right.
Eventually they came around and were like, okay, fine. You can have an offline city. And of course, nothing changed with the game. They really just wanted you to
check in.
And it was probably some DRM feature. And it was probably another way to force you to into their multiplayer ideal, which was limited. Because in order to do that, they had to scale down the cities to being pretty much infinitesimal. So the size of like a medium town was as big as you could build your city, which, you know, SimCity 4, which released like almost 10 years earlier, you could build massive cities to massive detail with connected regions and everything. And the game did far much more for your imagination than this new SimCity could have ever dreamt of. And man, how disappointing that game was, to the point that EA gave people a free game. I got free game. I got Dead Space 3 that I've never played on my Origin account that I never used.
Right.
Because they felt so guilty because I bought that game the day it came out.
There you go.
What a plopper.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
And that's interesting because, you know, I didn't play a lot of SimCity. You know, I was aware of it. Mm-hmm. And kind of when all this went down, you know, I was obviously had my ear to the ground with the gaming journalism and the community. So I heard it, you know, bombed. People hated it. And like for the first 5 days, it just didn't even work or some
crap like that. The release was terrible.
Just didn't even go over. But, you know, as a non-fan, I was like, man, that's awful, you know, but from your perspective, you know, you followed it and all that.
Oh yeah.
So it's interesting to see that side of the story because like for me, it was just like, yeah, he did it again. You know, that's kind of, that was my take on it.
Yeah. I'd say one of the saddest things was on the SimCity subreddit, a lot of Maxis developers are on there a lot. They do a lot of AMAs or they did before.
Right.
They've all but disappeared now because the fallout of the game has really just scorched the community. Now, the SimCity subreddit really plays City Skylines. Like that is the game.
That's what they do now.
Yeah. But it was so sad during those AMAs how protected they were from saying certain things.
Yeah.
We would, you know, we would ask them questions like, well, can I do this? Can I terraform? You could terraform in every SimCity since the original SimCity that you could play on like a calculator. And they're like, no, we can't do that. Like, well, what about this? What about like the news stories, like the funny news stories and all that stuff? I was like, well, that's been scaled back a little bit. Well, like, what about this? Can we still do this? Can we? It's like, no, we can't do that either. And I was like, why the fuck can't you just tell?
Why can't we do any of this? Yeah.
To make your own game. Like it felt like they were really sad that they couldn't give us.
They were being painted into a corner.
Yeah. But, it was really disappointing and sad. And I feel like those people probably won't get back into.
Yeah. I mean, City Skylines is apparently great. And it's, Tropico it's okay. is another one that people love, too.
Yeah, it's okay. I mean, I think it's kind of, you know, I would maybe even equate it to the way Brian compares every MMO to WoW. It's kind of like, you know,
there's other good ones,
Online does it okay, but nothing will ever be WoW. And I think that's just kind of the way SimCity is. It's kind of like, you know, City Skylines is all well and good. It doesn't have the humor, and it's missing some things from the SimCities that... SimCity probably owns the rights to and they can't do.
Sure.
But that's kind of it. Mm. Another one that EA kind of killed was Spore.
Mm-hmm. So I remember this.
A bit of a trend here. The ads talked about, and it is actually oddly similar to No Man's Sky.
Very, very close to being the same story.
Yeah, yeah. They talked about, you know, create your own evolving and reactionary universe and any creatures you can dream up. And they called it, creation solutionism or something. They came up with their own word for it.
Like, yeah, it was something ridiculous.
You can create and evolve anything. And did you ever play the game?
No.
I downloaded it. Hell, I might have even gotten illegally. This was years ago, back before I had an air of dignity about myself when it came to getting games. But I did play it a little bit, and I wasn't so offended by it at the start. I was like, oh, this is kind of neat. Look, I can take this little guy, and he can consume this guy, and now he's got arms and claws. And I was like, cool, let me create a new character. Okay, that one was kind of like the first one. Well, let me try it. Maybe I didn't do it. It's like it's the same game. Mm. There is no...
It's always the same formula.
Pretty much, yeah. There's not really a whole lot different about it. And that was like E3 2008 when they came up with that ad that, you know, the ad itself wasn't entirely misleading, but it did kind of paint like the early part of the game is kind of spot on, but the later parts of the game are very grandiose. Like that shit never happened.
Gotcha.
Once you got that far. But, gross. But that's another one that's universe creator, kind of like No Man's Sky, where it's like they're kind of doing it to themselves. They're telling you on purpose. They're saying, dream big. You can do anything you want in this game. And that's dangerous.
It is because, you know, you're saying that from your perspective or your team's perspective or your PR guy's perspective. But are you saying that for, you know, the millions of people that are anticipating this? No.
Exactly.
You know, you're what you're dreaming up that you can do. Maybe you can, but, you know, me on my couch at home eating my Doritos and sipping on my Coke Zero, you know, maybe I've dreamed up something entirely different and maybe I can't do that.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And I think a lot of people want to immediately when they start playing the game, they almost want to break it. They want like, let's see how crazy I can
exactly.
And then they immediately find the bounds of it.
Well, when you say do whatever you want, people are going to try to find that limit immediately.
Yeah, absolutely.
One thing that I think I have found that I really do enjoy, and I think the indie community really does a good job in general of doing it, is using constraints to be creative rather than saying there are no constraints.
I feel like that's something Hideo Kojima would say.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
But no, I think it's more interesting if you say, you know, you've got a character with one action or like one hand or one leg or, you know, just something interesting. And like, what can we do with that constraint?
Exactly.
And then go forward rather than saying, just do whatever you want to do, you know, because people will really, you know, there's a billion different ways people can try to do that. But if you say, you know, you've got a unicycle and a bagpipe, and, you know, an M16, play this game, you know, people are going to be like, oh, that's cool. Yeah. You know, I didn't think I could do any more than that to begin with, but you've done it in a creative way.
You make a good point, because I think, and I have a list here of games that I felt have done it right. And this is another thing we talked about, the way hype is manufactured. One is by media, one is by ads, right. One is just by community, people just talking it up. And another one is just by preceding reputation. If you've released something in the past that people like, the next thing you release had better meet that standard.
Sure.
And those are also, so anytime Bethesda announces a game, I'm excited immediately, and I'm already imagining the things that I can do in it. And I think that might have been what hurt Fallout 4 a little bit for some people.
I agree.
But to me, it was fine. It was, sure, it was kind of like, you know, it was clearly Skyrim's engine, and I immediately knew what I could do in that game.
Yeah.
And that was fine. I was like, okay, well, this is Fallout 4. I'm okay with it. I immediately understood. And I think for a lot of people, maybe they wanted more. Maybe they needed something more focused. I don't know. But along those same lines, in terms of preceding reputation, you know, when Skyrim came out, of course, I'd already played Oblivion, and that was my foray into the Elder Scrolls franchise.
And, Bethesda, or did you,
Bethesda.
You dabbled?
I played some old Bethesda games, but it was like maybe modern Bethesda, or like their open world. I didn't play a ton of Morrowind, is essentially the idea. But, you know, Skyrim comes out, and I'm, you know, I just see the trailer. The trailer's doesn't really show a ton of gameplay. It shows like a guy fighting a dragon.
Right. And that totally music, though.
The music is amazing. Most of what you see, you can do in the game. And you're like, oh, look, there's a guy fighting a dragon.
Yeah.
And that is the pinnacle of the game. You can fight a dragon. That's it. Like, that's pretty much one of the most exciting parts of the game. Sure, there are other exciting things, but
mammoths and
everybody
giants.
Wants to fight a dragon. And that's great. And it was very reeled in by that. It was like, this is the game where you fight dragons.
Right. And that's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah, and that was like, I guess that's your constraint.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, this is what you can do in this game right here. This is the thing you're working toward.
Right.
And also, Bethesda's reputation precedes it. Same with Fallout 4. So these are games that I think, you know, the hype was met pretty soundly because we knew what we were getting and we got it.
And I think, you know, I think Bethesda's aware of that. And they always, you know, people want the next Elder Scrolls now, but you really don't, you know.
Yeah.
You want the confirmation that it's being worked on, or you want to see a screenshot or the setting or something like that. But you really don't, because, you know, Bethesda's really smart about a couple of things. One is not announcing anything until it's ready for release, pretty much.
Which is another way of mitigating hype. The longer we talk about it,
the more disappointed you're going to be.
Yes.
Yeah. And the other part is, you know, if they don't, because delays, I think we mentioned that earlier, you know, if you say, hey, this game's going to be out, and they're like, no, it's going to be a little bit later.
I immediately see something wrong.
Yeah, it's like, oh, what's up?
Yeah.
And I think that's a general perception. You know, I think a lot of people now, especially after 2015, because I think 2015 was the year of just broke-ass games upon release. I think now people's perception of delays has changed a little bit.
I'm for them.
I am for them, but I'd much rather you just not tell me when it's coming out.
Right. You don't need to announce it 2 years out.
Yeah, just say, we're working on it. Here's some cool stuff. It'll be out when it's ready.
Now, Skyrim did have a long announcement. I think it was announced somewhere near Christmas of 2010, and it didn't release until November of
the following year. Yeah.
And it might have been pretty damn near done when they announced it, and I'm sure it was.
Yeah, they were just, I mean.
They probably just wanted it to be released on 11/11/11.
Probably.
Just because they're Bethesda.
Yeah. But yeah, I think Fallout 4, Skyrim both did it. I think Rockstar is another company that knows how to release a game.
They do.
And it's the thing is, I would much rather be pleasantly surprised than let down by hype. So I'd rather something just come out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like GTA 5, you know, people knew it was coming, and there, you know, there was always these, you know, rumors and mumblings and all that in the back channels of the internet and all that. But, you know, they don't have an E3 presence. They don't do marketing like anyone else. They're just like, boom.
Yeah.
By the way, here's this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, GTA 5 has sold like 60 million copies or something stupid like that.
Yeah.
And they're still updating it online.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
people play it. I mean,
constantly.
It's a huge player base.
So. And so it's crazy to me how they're just, you know, Red Dead Redemption, Bully, even though it wasn't a huge, like, you know, they haven't followed it up with anything.
Right.
PS2.
Still a sound entry.
So, yeah. And they know how to release games, and they know how to just rely on their reputation to sell what they've developed.
And again, their hype, the hype around their games. I mean, I feel like, you know, the Grand Theft Auto, what was 3, which is the first one of like the 3D universe.
Right.
There was a lot of push for that one. There's a lot of hype surrounding that one. And then each one consequentially afterward, people just came to expect awesome.
Yeah.
And even when GTA 5 came out, for the amount, like, I think people might have been a little bit disappointed in 4 for some reason. I think it was a weak entry to a lot of people, and it might have been character-based or whatever. I still think the game was okay. I played it recently, even.
Yeah.
Thought it was fine.
Yeah, you did.
But, I mean, it's to go from 4, what they did in 4, to what they've done in 5, like, no amount of hype could have disappointed anybody. It's amazing what all they put into
it.
So, that's just a company that just knows how to back up, you know, and they're not even saying anything. They don't have to back up anything they say. They just know how to
deliver
a fucking game, I guess. Yeah. I don't even know how to deliver. So,
very impressive.
Yeah, it is very impressive. Same with Red Dead Redemption. That was a game where I just saw the Rockstar logo and I was like, well, this will be fun.
Yeah.
You know,
this is good. This is a good game.
I didn't know I'd even love it as much as I did.
I think their weakest entry were like the Midnight Club Racing. A lot of people love those, but it's just it's like,
Yeah, it's just not what you think of when you think
Rockstar.
I liked L.A. Noire quite a bit, and a lot of people were disappointed in that.
Yeah, yeah. I think they only published that. I think it was developed by somebody
else,
though.
Yeah, Team Bondi or whatever, or something like
that. Yeah, that seems right. Still liked it, though.
I thought it was fantastic.
I love the setting. I
mean, they put their stamp on it.
Yeah.
It was good. And then another, and this is kind of being, this is a trend, so evidently what we're finding are that there are certain companies whose hype is generated by the company that releases it, and that company does a really good job of just releasing quality.
Yeah.
And that would be Telltale with
pretty much anything.
I specifically mentioned Walking Dead Season 2 because Walking Dead Season 1, for me, kind of came out of nowhere. And I think for a lot of people, it surprised them.
Agreed. Up until then, they had done like Jurassic Park, Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Kind of like sleeper hits, if you could even call them that.
Yeah. And so Walking Dead Season 1 comes out. I'm blown away by how much I love it. Season 2, I'm skeptical. I'm like, I mean, even with TV shows like that.
Lightning in a bottle, right? Like, are you going to get it again?
You know, is Stranger Things Season 2 going to be as good? It worries me.
Expectations are high. Yeah.
I don't want it to be bad. And I'll probably try to justify it by saying, I like it, even if I didn't, because I don't want to not like it.
Yeah.
Season 2 came out, and I got to honestly say that I was very pleased by it. Thought it was awesome. So,
yeah.
The hype surrounding it was justified. And that feels good when you hear it, when you expect a game to be good, and it is, and it meets your expectations.
Oh, yeah. It's just satisfying.
It really is.
Yeah. I think there's a certain amount of, like with me, like that, like I get hyped about games that most people don't. You know, like Abzu, that's a game that I was just, I was really jazzed about.
Even with, you're on the radar, you find some more obscure titles.
I do. Mafia 3.
Oh, I am actually
really excited about this game, and I will probably buy it upon release I'm like, this is an open world game, which I'm not usually gravitating to. But if you take Vietnam era New Orleans and put that open world spin on it, man, I just want to be in that world.
Yeah.
You know, it has less to do with, the mechanics of the game and just more like the atmosphere and the environment, and they're doing crazy good things with the music.
Yeah.
They've got like 160 licensed tracks from the
60s. Oh, that's awesome.
And, like the collector's edition includes like an LP of the soundtrack.
No way.
It's like, oh, this is perfect. That you guys awesome. Know how to market this game.
Yeah. So there's already some hype.
Yeah.
They're, without even, you know, not even surrounding the game itself.
Right. Just
time and place and a few knickknacks with it. And you're already excited for the game.
Yeah.
And then what if the game fails? Are you still excited about all that other stuff?
I'm still excited about stuff. And I have to say, and this is, I didn't have a script for this. And I didn't even write this game down as one that I think is doing hype well. But have you watched the trailers, the character trailers or like the story trailers or anything like that for
the
game?
I've only seen a couple trailers, just like some city shots and a few things.
They're doing this stuff like at a deposition. Like, and they're like, did Lincoln Clay, who's the protagonist, did he do this? Did he do that? And like one of his buddies is sitting there and just like, oh yeah, I was there when he did that. And then it would flashback to him doing it. And it's like, oh man, that's perfect.
This is kind of like Gears Judgment.
Yeah, a bit. You know, it's just like, it's taking that courtroom drama and doing the flashback thing and like the graininess of the TV and you got CCR in the background. It's like, oh man, this is perfect.
That sounds awesome. Yeah.
And, just a really well engineered, hype machine for Mafia 3 for me. Like a lot of other people that listen to this podcast be like, I don't even care about that game. But for me, it's just like, no, they're hitting all the buttons right.
Yeah. I think it's a delicate balance too, because I think there are some games that don't get hyped enough and they go under the radar.
I agree.
And they don't sell well. And it's like, man, if someone had, maybe it was, should have been marketed better or something like that. And I can't put my finger on one off the cuff. Maybe you can think of some.
I can think of one that is, people have basically stopped talking about now just because it's a smaller game, but is Inside.
Oh, yeah.
From Playdead, who did Limbo. And that's a game that was released purely on the reputation of Limbo. You know, Limbo came out of nowhere in like 2010, maybe. To blew everybody away. The aesthetic was cool. The game was good. Told a story without using words. No UI. Very clean game. And then here we are all these years later. They're like, here's an obscure trailer that doesn't tell you much about the game, but it looks weird and creepy. Here's another trailer. And boom, here's the game.
Right.
And, you know, scored perfect 10s all around. People love this game. I would give it a 10 were I to be a reviewer. But, you know, there's, it's an indie company. They don't have money to get right. Arnold Schwarzenegger to do a Super Bowl ad for it or
Larry Herb,
whatever.
Gave him a tweet.
Yeah.
A Herbinator, Major Nelson.
Boom. And that's pretty much what they get. And, you know, it's a game that relies purely on its quality to sell.
Yeah.
Which I think is interesting because that's sometimes the way I look at movies. Not to go off on a tangent.
No.
But a lot of movies sell themselves based purely on the cast. You know, you say, oh, Tom Cruise is in this. It's going to be good. Or Brad Pitt. Or
that is true.
Whomever.
Well, you know, I was thinking today, the Passengers. Did you see the trailer for Passengers that came out?
I did, yeah. Chris Pratt, and Jennifer Lawrence.
Jennifer Lawrence. You didn't have to show anything else, just those two faces on a poster.
Right.
That's a date night for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Agreed. And then, but you take a look at the opposite of that, and you think of a movie like, I don't know, Old Boy or something like that.
Yeah, okay.
No one's in this that you know. They're not speaking a language that you know. Mm-hmm. But it's so much better than most anything that's released in American cinemas. It's like, you know, here's something that stands on its own because it's good, not because it relies on some, you know, cash cow being part of it.
Yeah.
Which is kind of takes me to Call of Duty. You know, it's like they always got a face in there. You got, you know, Kit Harington and
Sutherland's voice.
Kiefer Sutherland, or they got Kevin Spacey. There's some buy-in to make generate that hype where a truly good game
shouldn't
have to do that.
And it's okay that they do.
I'm not knocking that. Yeah. But, you know, you look at a game like Inside where, you know, it's just a video game that's really good that's completely resting on its quality to sell.
Yeah, I was thinking kind of my forte is in the older games, and I wasn't really around. Well, I was around, but I didn't really pay attention to ads and hype as a kid.
Yeah, so yeah. Much. Oh, yeah. None of us did. Yeah.
Basically, I got games that were usually hand-me-downs or...
Had cool box art.
Yeah, or they were just, you know, my parents, a lot of my games came from just... what was like old school Craigslist ads, you know, through
sure.
like the paper. People just were selling games, and my dad would be like, hey, there's some guy selling games, like 10 games for $20. Do you want any of these? And I'd be like, sure, I don't care. And,
yeah, it's a game.
You know, four of them were Barbie. One of them was like Sesame Street. And then there was like a racing game in Three Maddens. And those are just the games I ended up with.
Right.
It weren't like I necessarily wanted them, but games are games. So when it came to like hype around those games, I'm finding now that there are still a lot of games that are under the radar, and it's not like they're just now being discovered by any means, but
yeah.
You can tell by the way that the prices are going up on a few of them that a lot of people are getting around to playing them, and they're saying, and a lot of people with voices in the community, specifically YouTube, are saying, like, guys, this game went well under the radar. And that's not attributing it to any ads from the time or anything like that, because there's probably ways to go back and look, but that's a lot of work. Basically, if you haven't heard of it and it's not considered a classic, then it's probably, you know, underhyped.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And there's not very many overhyped games from that era. I feel like overhyped games disappear very quickly.
Yeah.
They don't, you know, past a year, you forget about them.
Like, no one's talking about No Man's Sky anymore.
Yeah, well.
And that's like a month?
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe.
That is true.
So, current games. Getting hyped.
Yeah. I listed a few here, and we can kind of run through them a little bit. One is, and I'm kind of going to skip around a little bit. I was thinking Cuphead, and I don't know that it actually has a lot of hype aside from it just was announced, what, 3 years ago?
Maybe four.
Maybe 4 years ago. I've seen it in tons
every
of magazines.
E3.
I've seen it in every E3. I've seen it in like compilation videos of E3. It usually sneaks in there, even if they don't mention it outright.
ID at Xbox, Buzz, you know, sizzle reel.
Yeah, and yeah. I don't know. I feel like the flip side for that one is that the hype has kind of fizzled somewhat just because we've had to wait so long. Like, there is a threshold where it's like if you make us wait to
too
a point,
long, we don't
we're
care
excited,
anymore.
And then past that point, it's just kind of like, you know what?
Yep.
Fuck it.
Yeah, and a game that comes to mind is Monaco, What's Yours is Mine. You've probably never heard of this game.
No.
Okay.
PC?
PC and Xbox 360.
I might have dabbled.
And, was a top-down four-player co-op heist game.
I have played this, actually.
Okay, pretty cool game. Mm-hmm. But it's one of those games that they announced their release date. Like, here's an indie game that's cool. It's neat aesthetic, cool visuals, nice soundtrack, blah, blah, blah. A lot of people got on board for the hype. And then they're like, we can't release today. We're going to have to release 2 weeks from now. And then they're like, okay, it's out. And no one cared.
Really?
It was tragic. Weeks? And like, the guy had worked on that game for like 4 years.
Just 2 weeks.
It was, you know, I mean, two weeks is a general frame of time. I'm not 100% right, sure it was that. But it was just like, yeah, it wasn't long at all. And,
wow.
Yeah, pretty crazy.
Hype is a delicate thing, man.
It really is, you know.
It, but at the same time, you don't want too much of it.
Yeah. And The Last Guardian's one that I'm afraid is just not going to live up to people's expectations.
I know.
Just got pushed back again.
I know. How long?
To the end of the year. It's still 2016 calendar, but okay. You know, it's like late December.
Yeah. I'm excited those people are at least getting something. I mean, I feel like the Half-Life
people
would be happy if they just got something.
Yeah, just give us something. Deliver.
But yeah, and like, that's another one for sure. That might even be the queen bee right now, just in terms of how long people have waited to get a game.
Final Fantasy 15 has actually been in development longer.
Really?
Because it was, at one point, I think it was Final Fantasy 13 Versus or 13.2 right. or something.
But people haven't maybe since the announcement that it existed, but people haven't been waiting that long since the last installment of...
Right. Yeah, right. That's true. That's very true. But in terms of like awareness and development, sure. I think Final Fantasy 15 is a little longer.
Absolutely.
But Watch Dogs 2?
Yeah, that's one. And I kind of admire Ubisoft's reluctance to put it down. Like,
I do too.
There was a lot of vitriol around Watch Dogs and just like, wow, this was shitty. You guys lied to us. This is crap.
We hate
our money back to being like, hey, you want another one?
Yeah. It's like, thanks, balls, man.
And it looks like they've actually done a really good job of turning it around a little bit.
It looks like conceptually they've fixed everything that everyone hated about the first one.
Exactly, yeah. On that note, though, I think I got so burned on one that I don't want to touch two, regardless of what it is.
It's possible that a lot of people are going to do that.
Yeah, and I hate that for two. It could be a great game, and I'm just going to pass on it.
I think it's going to be one that I'm going to be like, let's see.
Yeah, I mean, again, the after hype could come back too. Like after,
guys, this is actually good.
Yeah, I mean, that could totally happen, and that's actually that wave of hype is usually the one I latch onto most.
Sure.
That one's everlasting, like Doom. When Doom was announced, I wasn't necessarily skeptical because I was like, ew, Bethesda's stamping it.
Right.
But at the same time, it's kind of like, you know, you're trying to revitalize this classic. You're messing with my childhood right now.
Yeah, okay? Don't do that.
You got to be careful. And then
easy.
Everyone came out and said, you know, this game is worth it.
It's actually really good, yeah.
And then that's the hype you latch onto.
Yeah, it is.
Walking Dead Season 3, we can go ahead and get that one out of the way. It's kind of the same as 2.
Mm.
Looking forward to it being as awesome as the first two installments. Where's the story going to go? You don't want it to ruin your
perception of where things want to go?
Maybe, or at least, I don't know. I feel like they can take some pretty good liberties with it still. Like, even if they killed off your favorite character, that's still reason enough maybe to hang on, because it's kind of like, well, I've trusted you this long.
Let's see where this goes.
I think Season 2 could have broke them. Season 3, it's kind of like they maybe can do something.
Okay.
I don't know. It's just... I have no idea what I'm talking about. I'm just saying.
You're just saying.
Gears of War 4 coming out soon.
Now, this one, here's one that I really, really, really am on the hype train for. In terms of, not like it's the second coming, but like, I'm going to get this, I'm going to play it, and I'm excited about it. Like, that's my version of a hype train.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like I think it's going to be the be-all, end-all, and I'm not going to be pissed if it's awful. I'm just really excited about it.
Yeah.
And, I think it was today, maybe yesterday. I can't remember if it was Kotaku or Polygon. One of the two. A journalist spent 14 hours with Gears of War 4. And they're like, normally this would be enough time to say, I think they're going to do this with the game. But they're like, everything I played was awesome.
Really?
But I still don't feel like I've scratched the surface. Huh. And I was like... Okay.
I feel like the campaign's probably a linear Gears campaign.
Yeah, and they apparently played like 2 hours of the campaign, and it was like from part three to part two.
Okay.
Or, I mean, part two to part three. And like, they didn't get like the full experience on that because obviously they didn't want to put too much out there because it was pre-release, not even review. It was more like a pre-review.
Oh, wow.
But they're like, multiplayer was good, and they're like, Horde mode is among the toughest of the Horde modes that I've ever played.
So like, you're going to need all your bros.
Like, getting to 50 is like a huge freaking deal.
Well, it was a huge freaking deal
in Gears 3.
Because we barely did it once.
Yeah. And it took like 8 hours.
With 8 dudes.
Yeah. Rotating in players. We had a bench. But I'm really excited about it, especially the Horde 3.0 stuff where, you know, it's no longer a, you know, freaking tower defense game. You can just set up shit wherever you want to.
That's exciting. Yeah, but I'm excited, it's the same thing. It's like unparalleled expectations. Like, can I do this with it? And immediately you're going to be like, oh, you can't do that.
Oh, you mean I can't do this?
Yeah. But maybe that's a little more reeled in than, say, you know, Invent the Universe.
Yeah. I'm excited. Did you, there was a trailer that released today. I don't know. Did you watch it?
Yeah. No, I didn't check it out.
Oh, it's sweet. Marcus Phoenix is in it. Very nice.
And very cinematic.
Oh, quite.
Sure.
Yeah. Love it.
But that comes out soon. That's early next month.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Pre-order already locked down for me, buddy.
I haven't pre-ordered it, but...
you might as well.
Might as well.
And the cool thing is GameStop right now, this is not a paid sponsorship, but...
God, we wish it were.
Right? If you pre-order Gears 4, either the deluxe or the standard, you get $20 off another Xbox One game. This is automatic coupon.
Can I pre-order it and get it digital?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, would that apply? Does Probably. That work with GameStop? Can you pre-order digital games through GameStop?
I have no idea.
If they could do that, I would be more Maybe. Inclined to do it. Yeah.
I don't know. Good question. But I'm probably going to do that and use that $20 toward Mafia.
Mafia. Yeah. Was that coming out?
Yeah, October, like the week after Gears 4.
No shit. Yeah. Okay. And another big one, especially for me.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Because I actually have to be sold on a console for this motherfucker.
Ooh, Breath of the Wild.
Breath of the Wild. Good old Zelda.
By the way, you had that as Breath of the Wind in here and I changed it.
I went back and forth twice. I didn't even think to Google. I was like, wind, wild. I think it's wind, but it's wild.
It's wild.
Thanks for
makes clarifying. Much more sense than Breath of the Wind.
It does, yeah. I guess.
I don't know. I think it's better
Maybe.
Than Breath of the Wind.
I don't know. I don't like it at all. I wish there were no breath. Breath, to me, when I hear the word breath, I imagine smelly breath.
That's hot, moist air.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I don't like somebody just was like breathing in my face. I don't like that at all.
To me, it's refreshing.
Sure. But yeah, I'm excited for that. And the hype can only be so real or so big because people got to play that game extensively on live TV for hours on end and everyone left pretty happy.
I think that's going to be the system seller, but I think there's a supplemental system seller that was, I think, just announced today. Not a specific thing was announced, but like Pokemon games will be on NX.
Oh, of course, yeah.
So, you know, Pokemon Go's huge. 3DS sales have gone through the roof since Pokemon Go came out. So now you take the home console or the home mobile
whatever
this is going to be, and you put Pokemon on that.
Well, I was thinking, yeah, the mobile hybrid aspect of it will probably
lend itself.
Be big for Pokemon folk.
Yeah.
Pokefolk.
I think I think NX is going to be fine as long as they don't screw up lots. But honestly, I think they got a whole new audience now. I really do.
Bring on that third party. That's right. Probably the key element. You get a couple Maddens and some Call of Duties on there, along with Zeldas and stuff. You're going to sell consoles.
Yeah,
that's really just that. That's that simple. You don't need the obscure third party games. Just the big hitters. And Assassin's Creed, a Telltale game or two.
Yeah, but
some Call of Duties, a Madden, a FIFA.
Bob's your uncle.
And Zelda, and you're selling them.
But Breath of the Wild, I'm excited too.
Yeah, it looks good.
I don't know that I'll get an NX or whatever they're going to call it. But
you can always come over and play on mine.
Exactly.
I'm a sucker for Zelda.
Aren't we all?
Yeah, a little bit. All right. Does that pretty much wrap up the hype?
I think
was
it does.
That the best show ever?
That was like the best show ever. And we actually went a little long.
I thought we did.
Yeah.
I might have. I was starting to sweat over here.
Yeah, I'm sweating too, but that's for different reasons.
How
it's
long
all
you
this
think?
Alcohol.
Like hour 20 or something?
Oh, yeah, 15.
Oh, that's not too bad.
Not quite.
Probably hour 20 once I get finished with this spiel.
Yeah.
Thanks for watching the episode. As always, you can find us on Twitters and Instagrams.
Yeah.
I'm at TravPlaysGames.
Like, rate, share, all that stuff.
And he's at the McAxel. And like, rate, and share. Rate us on iTunes real hard. Give us a real hard
rating.
Healthy liking. check us out on YouTube. We've not been releasing a lot of stuff, but we will. We will get around to that. We have to get Jake fired.
Yeah, and Christmas break. Look for videos, Christmas break.
yeah, Christmas break. And what else? Facebook, facebook.com/PolyKillPodcast. Check that out.
Collect call coming up.
Yeah, a new collect call coming up. This one's going to be a pretty good one. They're all pretty good, in my opinion. But in your opinion, I don't know.
Yeah.
So, whatever.
Cool beans.
Sweet beans. That's pretty much it. Check out polykill.com. That's where all the stuff is.
That's it.
All right, man. Well, thanks for watching us and our listening, and we'll catch you next episode.
Peace.